Welcome to the Freud's Angels podcast, where two highly intuitive women dig into everyday problems using our connection to the divine, psychology, and energy work.
We support you in your self-awareness, growth, and aid you in your shadow work. Now we're your hosts.
I'm Vanessa.
And I'm Grace. Let's get into the show.
Hi, angels. We missed you.
We did.
We missed you, missed you, missed you. We thank you for your patience, for us taking time off. It didn't work out, schedules, and just, you know, it was a good kind of break. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, we do this on Sundays, and I didn't realize sometimes how much I sometimes need a Sunday that's not doing something, that is of just whatever my whims take me, whether it's sitting on the couch and watching my favorite show, or whether it's cooking. Like, I think I cooked I just cooked most of the day because it was like, ooh, I have time.
Yeah.
And so it was nice. So we appreciate your patience for us being MIA, but we are back with a new episode. This is episode 168. Vanessa, what are we going to be sharing with the people?
Well, we didn't even really name it yet, so I guess we're going to figure that out as we go along. As we hit record, I was like, okay. Like, some of this is going to be us just seeing where we go with it. But we were trying to think, you know, like, we've both been, if you haven't listened to the astrological forecast our reading that we put up, you know, it's energetically, things are weird happening with us right now. There's a lot of stuff that's going on. So I feel like when we sat down and we were like, what are we going to talk about? It was like absolute vast blank black hole space, like nothing. Like, we were just like, we have to talk about something. And so I was like racking my brain and thinking about what's themes that go on in the counseling space with me, because I feel like, you know, whenever I can, if I know that if there's something that's thematic within my clients, then there's probably a lot of people that can relate to it. So, and in addition, I've recently, like, y'all know I love documentaries. I love all the kinds of documentaries of different, like, food and brain and whatever. But for some reason, I've been watching historical documentaries. History isn't really a thing that I've always been into, because there's a lot of lying in history. But I've, you know, I feel like some of the documentary makers are really out there for that reason, because they're like, how about we dig deeper into this and we give some perspective, you know, and we tell the truth, right? Like, or some more truths. And so I've been watching some of that lately. And as I've been doing that, and as I've been watching old videos and the way people speak and the way that they believed things and really believe them wholeheartedly, because that was the information they had at the time, the more it's like, you know, I'm understanding those people. And, a lot of my clients do this. We all do this, I think, that once we learn something, we go back and judge ourselves negatively about it. Right? Like, oh, well, you should have known that. Like, how the hell was I supposed to know that? Like, obviously, I couldn't have known that. Right? Like, but we do that with other people too, like, all the time. Like, we have this forgetting thing of, hey, you know, sometimes people didn't have access to the things that we believe they should have had access to. And that matters, because it's part of the radical acceptance that serves us so well. It is what it is, whether it was right or wrong. We can just accept that it is what it is and move forward without it controlling us, right? Like, that's the idea of it. It's not, it is what it is and it's okay. It is what it is and that's it. There's no movable part of it, and you can either carry it or you can drop it. And so we've been talking so much about generational traumas being passed down and why that's been happening, right? And so that's just been, I mean, we've been talking about it for a few weeks now, and I've got clients of different ages. So it's been a real great experience for me. I mean, this is why I love my job, is that I just get so many perspectives from so many people, and it helps me in the world. I mean, I love walking around being like, I don't know shit, because how could I? Everybody's so individual. But this, you know, I feel like once we can kind of grasp this, concept, it gives us a little bit more freedom from emotional pain because it just kind of loosens the ideas of what we think should have happened, right? Because we're using that, I think this should have happened with our current experience. And that's just not fair. That's not fair to others. And it's not fair to ourselves when we're doing it to ourselves. So yeah, I guess we're going to see what happens with this concept.
Generational judgment.
Yeah, right. Generational judgment sounds like a really good, a good thing, because we all have it and it continues to happen and it will continue to happen. And that's okay, because I feel like it can help us learn.
Yeah.
If we allow it to be a process that isn't hateful.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think, so I think it enters the chat with us when we are in the spaces of healing our own experiences, our own trauma, and our own, like when we're in therapy, generally it enters, like, it's like, oh, and there's a thing in social media now where it's all about like, oh, like, you know, there's always that one person that breaks all the generational cycles and blah, blah, blah. And that's true. And, you know, if you're here, you're probably one of them. Mm-hmm. But part of me thinks it's like an evolutional process, mm-hmm, of understanding, because we go to therapy because we're angry at our parents, or we know that they've harmed us, they've abused us, they've done something wrong, which is valid and it's horrible, and whatever trauma, whatever level, whatever type, it is not a great thing. But in our anger to blame them and to give them, it gives them more power, right? It gives them, and it allows them to kind of still control us, even though that we're old and adults, we're older and adults. And I think that begins the process. That's the gateway of being, mm-hmm, angry and stepping into that space. And I think evolving in that understanding that we're talking about our parents and about our family and our ancestors. And, you know, one of the things you mentioned before in our pregame was about the access to the knowledge and information we have now. Like, mm-hmm, we judge them with the things we know now. Mm-hmm. Rather than understanding what they had access to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Like, I mean, down to parenting, you know, like when we think about like Dr. Spock and all that kind of stuff, like that was the information that was available, yeah, other than what you had learned from your parents. I mean, it's like legitimately, there was no Google. There weren't that many medical journals. There just wasn't the information there. So where the, like, they were just following what was presented to them. We are incredibly lucky right now that we have so many people and so many perspectives and so much access to information and so much more communication available to us so that we can have so many perspectives. But if you take away our technology, we have the same problem, right? Like, if I can't access anything outside of my area, then my area is it, unless I can travel to another area to learn something else. And a lot of people can't, right? So you just live in that experience. And it really, you know, again, like, it's not meant to be like, oh, okay, cool. So we've got some hateful people that live in some places and that's all right. Like, it's not all right, right? But it's an explanation that can allow me not to carry it and ruin my life. Right. Like, to be able to understand something doesn't mean that it's okay. It just means I get that this is why it happened. So it can take away my belief of why it happened, which is usually that somebody diabolically did something to me because they didn't care or love.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Or that there is something inherently wrong with us or not, yes, okay. Or we're not.
But it's worried about us even, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, we take it personally. Well, because when we're young children, that's what you do. You know, you think, is this all happening to me because it's me? Yeah. That we convince ourselves that it is. Yeah. And so,
and sometimes we hear it, right? Yeah. Like, sometimes we hear it because,
yeah, believe me, I know
that. Yeah, it's still kind of relatively new to be able to have the concept of being like, dude, don't say that. You know, I've had lots of children clients that I stopped seeing for this reason, because I'm just like, dude, the kid can't help it. They're kids. And if you're going to point the finger at them and say that you're ruining their lives, how else are they supposed to think? you're saying that. That's not even the truth. I know it's not the truth, but you're saying it. So that's what they're going to believe. You need to figure out how to say something different so that they don't go off believing that. But good luck. You know, that's why I don't work with kids, because a lot of parents are like, you're supposed to fix my kid, not me. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. But yeah, I mean, I feel like that's, you know, and like I said, I feel like we do it to ourselves too. So this isn't this, I feel like having this conversation about others is really hard. I mean, I've sat down with enough people that are like, no, I'm not going to forgive my parent. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. The word forgive, you're hung up on it. You don't like it because it makes you feel like you're giving them permission. But what you're best served to do always is that radical acceptance of saying it happened and there were reasons that were not diabolical. There were reasons that were not intentional, that person was also in some sort of turmoil or some sort of belief system that they believed in as wholeheartedly as you believe in this one. And that's because of A, B, and C, usually access to information. I mean, I can't say enough times how many times that has been the theme. Well, where did they get their information from? Well, where do you think they learned that from? Well, where do you think they were going to get something different? And we're always landing on, I don't know. And it's like, well, then yes. If their parents abused them and there was nobody around to tell them that that was not okay, they didn't learn anything different. And it didn't matter if they saw that other people weren't doing it. They really believed it was effective. And so they kept doing it. It's not okay. We're not happy about it, but we get it. That's what happened. I'm not going to carry it as mine, though. I'll leave it there with them.
Right.
Not okay. Also, I'm going to rise above it because I'm not going to carry that generational trauma with me, too.
And I think sometimes, too, when we get stuck in the loop of, I can't believe they did that to me, and we kind of are faced with the question of, well, how do you think that they could have done it differently without the knowledge that we have today? And they're like, I don't know. You're also kind of putting yourself in a position where you are creating a belief that it's not your pain is not like healable. Like you're unable because you don't have the answers and they just should have done it. It's a rigidity. And believe me, that part of the process is important to think and feel those ways because it helps us get to the next stage of healing. But when we get stuck in that rigidity, like listen to the reading for this week, if there's a lot about that, we get stuck in that rigidity. We're not open to the solution or the healing of the situation. We're more wanting to stay in the anger of it and the blame of it in order to just make them accountable. And believe me, I was angry at my mother and there's parts of me that still is a little angry for a long fucking time because I wanted her to see how bad she hurt me. But over time, over a lot of freaking therapy, I realized the more I was so rigid in that space, the less healing I was able to involve into my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the person who's most tortured is us.
Yeah. And it's a form, I think in some ways, I've seen where I do that to myself because it's a form of self-punishment for feeling responsible for having them had done it to me, that there was something within me that was the reason they did it. And so it was like a form of self-punishment to stay in that blame loop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like accountability is the word, right? Like we want to hold people accountable because we have our brain now. And the same way that we, you know, again, like putting it into perspective of ourselves, like we're trying to forgive ourselves too, right? Like, so if we're not forgivable or if they're not forgivable, neither are we, right? So, and that's a conversation people don't like to have, right? Right. Like it's like, oh, okay. Well, so they're going to be held accountable without the resources that they had and with all of the trauma that they were carrying that we don't know anything about because they didn't share it with us and without any access. So they are not forgivable, but you are, because you don't like how it makes you feel to hate yourself, right? Yeah. And it's like those two things, your energy field isn't going to accept that. Your heart and your soul isn't going to accept that. It's not going to accept that one is forgivable and the other isn't, right? Like there has to be some neutrality in both in order to let go, right? Like, and that's what we're, that's all we're really looking for is the neutrality of it. The ability to get to whatever space we can get to say, I get why that happened. It's still not okay, but I get why that happened. And I'm just glad that I didn't continue it. I'm thankful that I have the information that I have. I'm thankful that things have changed. I'm thankful that I got whatever it is that I got, because let's be honest about this. If you're a cycle breaker, if you came from a place that wasn't great and you are making changes, they did do something different for you to be able to not perpetrate the same exact thing. And that's a great thing, right? Like whatever it is, there might, sometimes we have to dig real hard. Find the thing where they're like, oh yeah, they were good at that, or yeah, they did do that for me, and I'm like, that's the thing, that's the thing that they learned that they passed down to you. And yes, all these other things are terrible and we really want those to change, but because they did that one thing, now you'll change the other ones, right? And that's where we can find like the chink in the armor of the terror and the whatever, you know, to kind of be able to humanize. We're just trying to humanize everybody. We don't do a good job of that in general. We're not the conspiracy theorist in me knows that the media doesn't want us to do that. Like the kumbaya thing is not helpful for the government or for whatever, you know, but God, we need it. We need it for our own peace of mind. And so we have to learn it. We have to be able to learn to let go of the past things that people have done and ourselves, right? And so if you can sit down and sit with yourself and say, this is what I did in my 20s and this is why I did it and I get it and I'm going to blame these people for it. Well, it can't just only stop there. You got to do that with the generation before that too.
Yeah.
Because it's also true there.
Yeah. And part of me, there were so many thoughts that happened when you were talking, because I'm like, oh yeah, oh yeah. Because, you know, that's what evolution is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like evolution, if there was no generational trauma, I almost think like we as a society would never evolve in that way, in that emotional searching for answers, searching for understanding, searching for people. Like it would be great if there was not, I mean, I know there are people out there that have great family lives, but I don't know who they are, but God bless them. A part of me, you know, I had a conversation with a friend the other day or last night about how, you know, they were talking about the holidays and how they want them to feel as special as theirs did for them. They want their children to feel as special. And I think, and something came to me, and because sometimes spirit downloads when I'm talking to people. And one of the things that came up in conversation was that it was so special to you because of the stark contrast to the other parts of your life, right? Mm-hmm. If you have a really crappy childhood and the only time things are good is on the holidays, which happened in my world, right? Mm-hmm. That's, you know, you weren't loved until Christmas, and that was the day that you got loved. And, you know, those, they mark us in a sense of like, oh my God, it was so special. And I want to create that for my child. And I was like, but knowing what you know, knowing trauma, knowing going through it, working through it, healing it, understanding it, you're giving your child that almost every day. Mm-hmm. You're giving them space to experience it. And the special you're making them is them to be able to not carry the trauma that you had experienced in your childhood. And so I think that sometimes as parents, I think it gets a little warped, because that's that whole thing of like, well, I had to do chores all the time and I couldn't get anything. And so I'm going to buy my kid everything and not give them responsibility, which is fine. It's your choice. But at the same time, it's not understanding that. I just think that it's like, let's not throw everything out with our own trauma. Yeah. Understand what purpose it served in your life and what it created, and understand how to do that without inflicting trauma. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, because we're not really well, again, like we're not really well taught like what it is, what is the thing, so that we're recreating the thing. We're like talking about Christmas. So we're trying to make Christmas special, but the reality of it was the love, right? Like, and like you were saying, so if I give my kid love every day and they know that they're loved every day and it has nothing to do with a holiday, then the holiday doesn't matter. The holiday isn't going to mean to them what it meant to anybody. They don't give a shit really because of what their feeling is all
the
time. They
need it. They're not
going to need it. Right, exactly. Like, they're not holding on to the holiday the way you were holding on to the holiday, right? Like in the same thing of like, well, if I felt like I was doing chores all the time, then what was the feeling that I was having that I'm trying to avoid giving my kids? Well, then you just don't give them that feeling, right? Like, but you're attaching it to the chores instead of attaching it to the feeling or the lack of communication or whatever it was that made you feel that way about your chores, right? But that's like a process that we have to be able to do.
Yeah.
We're not really taught how to do that, right? Like, so, you know, it's easy to say, right? Like we sit down with all the information that we have, we go judging everybody else, but it's like in ourselves, but it's kind of like, yeah, well, you just didn't know. Nobody taught you how to do that. But yeah. Now, you know, so now it's a gift that, you know, to be able to go, oh, okay, I don't have to knee jerk react everything and overcorrect and make a new problem. Right. I can really just sit in it and go, what was it that I took as meaning, and how do I see not recreating that in any way in my own family, if that's what it is, or relationships or whatever, you know? And that's, it's always, I feel like every time we go through this, it's like so much easier than people think. Right, where they're like, oh, okay. I'm like, yeah, like it's not about big grand anythings. It's about the little things every day becoming the big thing.
Yeah. It's creating that foundational belief in themselves and who they are, and the availability of love and specialness, and their availability to show up. Right. Because I mean, let's take our generation, for example. I mean, our parents were the boomer parents, right? They were the ones that you didn't show emotion. It was the first generation that women actually had power to do anything. It was one of the first generations where women actually could have credit in their name. So
unbelievable.
I know, right? Like it was, I mean, I was like, what?
Like, I know. Can you actually think about that? Can you actually think about the fact that our grandmothers could never buy anything?
Yep.
Unless they had cash in their hands. And even then, difficult. Like, what?
Yeah. And without their husband too. Like it was, they couldn't buy cars. They couldn't buy property. They couldn't buy anything without some other main influence. And so if you take that perspective of the disempowerment of women's ability to exist in the world, and then you take the next generation, which is our parents' generation, where all of a sudden divorce was a thing. All of a sudden they had access to money. All of a sudden it was like they were thrown out into the working world because they had to, because, well, if you have access to money, you got to work, right? And because the economy went to a different direction. And so they had to work, you know, all of that. And then like, especially me, and I'll use mine as an example. I was just pissed at my mother because her relationship with money is horrible. I'm like, yeah, no wonder. She didn't have a really great example because Grammy never had the ability to manage money because she didn't have the right to do it. And then the next generation does, but then they're given no guidelines on how to do it. It's
there's just no psychological support for that.
Right. There's no like, this is the best way to invest your money. This is especially women because men don't want women to become powerful and wealthy. So there's going to be lack of information. So me blaming my mother for her relationship with money is like saying, you know, it's like you're blaming someone for starving because they don't have money for food. It's like she didn't have access to understanding money and how to cope with it and how to, you know, how that you don't, you know, she allowed my stepfather to do what he did with the house. And so she ended up losing it. Like, because that's the mindset that was passed on through the generations. And so in my generation, like me, it's like me knowing, okay, you know what? No, there's a different relationship with money, and I need to fix it. And I don't want to perpetuate that. But it's understanding, and I see it differently now because I'm in just having that piece of knowledge that she was one of the first generations to have access to credit and mm-hmm. access to the ability to own things. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. Like even like DNA wise.
Yeah.
It's foreign. They like, that's not in the female DNA in our society to yeah. feel powerful like that.
Oh yeah. We've been disempowered since we came onto this earth because it was our fucking fault that Adam and Eve fell from grace, right? It was
well, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's what's so funny. We were talking about that because today's Easter. And so we were kind of talking about that. And, you know, my daughter's like, I don't believe that happened. And I was like, you're my kid. You know what I mean? But yeah, like all of these concepts were even created much, much later, right? Like, so we're yep. talking about this thing that supposedly happened at the creation of man, but then we also have like Egyptian stuff that women were not
yep.
the problem. You know, it's like weird. You know what I mean? Like, you're just like, there's a lot of twisted shit going on here that has to yep. do with women, right? But it's like cultural, and like there's just so many variables that go with it that yeah. it's like, oh my God, really and seriously, can we sit down and look through to see what's really happening instead of what we think should have happened or what our trauma is telling us is the thing to blame, so that we can just move on to the fixing part of it, like to the recreation or the new creation part of it, right? Mm-hmm. And if we can find a little bit of compassion, it'll be more helpful, right? Because it gives us different energy to hold on to going forward.
When I heard that or saw that post about somebody had posted, as a woman, I empathize with my mother, but as a daughter, I'm still angry at her. It helped me put it down, right? Mm-hmm. It helped because I was so conflicted because I wanted to be angry at her because of my situation, because of everything happening. And I wanted to be angry at her because I wanted to hold her accountable. But at the same time, I see her as a human and I felt bad, but I was angry that I felt empathy and kindness for her because I was like, you don't fucking be kind with someone who hurt you like that. What the fuck are you doing? Like, I was mad. But I think in understanding that concept and understanding where I'm allowing myself to be a little bit angry still and a little bit upset, but at the same time, I'm like, no, but I empathize because I see her as her experience and what she experienced. My grandparents were fucking farmers, man. They didn't have access to, you know, places in the city where you had access to education, and they had no idea. They had no idea. All they knew how to do was to farm the land and milk cows. That was it. They had no idea, none whatsoever. And especially yeah. the women, like my aunt Mimi, my aunt Ethel, was the first one to leave the family farm to go work in a factory and live on her own. But she ended up coming back because of needing to take care of the family members. So even though she went to earn her own money, she was brought back because of the fact that she needed to take care of the home and the family. So. Yeah. It was, you know, I have to remember at such the lack of knowledge and understanding how I understand it, and, you know, helping me heal and the really changing point and allowing me to be softer and less judgmental of myself was allowing myself to be less judgmental of my mother and allowing her to be who she is, having empathy, but also allowing the anger to still be there. I'm still mad about it, some things, but it's not my operating system. I don't have this drive to make her understand because I realize she can't understand. She mm-hmm. doesn't have the knowledge or the awareness of it. And so
I know
expecting that from her is like expecting a turtle to fly.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Because people love to be like, well, they should know better now. Like, how long did it take you to figure it out? You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, and you have access to all of these things. What would you do if you did not have access to all of these things, right? Like, let me take away your Google. Let me take away your internet. Let me take away your TikTok. Let me take away and see how much you actually know.
Yeah.
Right. Like, see how much you'll just run out there looking for information that doesn't friggin' exist. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, man. Like, people don't know to even look for the information. They don't know that there is information to look for. We come across so many things accidentally and we forget that, like, real quick, right? Like, we talk about it a lot, right? Like, oh my God, look at this thing. It just hit me. They didn't have that. That never happened. Nothing ever just showed up on their doorstep to make them think about something differently. It didn't happen. But we love to go back and be like, well, they should have somehow figured it out because I have pain. It's like, okay, like, that part we do have to let go of. Yes, we can have pain because it's not fair, right? Like, it's just not fair that we've been hurt, but do we really need to make it to bleed all over everybody else and to continue to bleed? Do we really need to do that? You can if you really want to, but if you want to do better and feel better, then you have to be a better example, right? Because if you continue to bleed all over people and continue to be hateful and continue to do that, then you're doing the same thing they're doing, yeah. Right? You're holding on to a certain belief system. You're passing it on that this is the way that you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to hold on to hate. You're supposed to hold on to resentment, and that's what you're supposed to do. Well, then the next generation behind you that learns differently is going to judge you for doing that,
yep.
Right? They're going to say, well, we know by now that we're supposed to not hold on to resentment. Why are you doing it?
Yeah.
And I have no compassion for you because you had access to that information, or so I believe. Like, yep. It's just literally the same thing over and over again.
Well, and I also believe, and this is just a belief of mine, it may not be true, but that our ability to learn is different.
Oh,
100%. You know what I mean? Like, we assimilate because we have this sense of learning, like we were taught to learn differently than they were, like their mindsets and their way of learning. Like, I don't know how many times I have modeled to my mother on how to talk to me and how not to disrespect me and how to not. I can't tell you how many times that has happened, but she is, because she doesn't understand and her learning ability is far vastly different from mine, that expectation is so off base. It is so, like,
it's neurologically,
like, she can't do it. Like, mm-hmm. there's no way she can understand some of the things that I'm trying to impart on her.
It would have to be a neuroplasticity mission on purpose, yeah. To go, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to practice it so that that part of my brain gets strengthened. I mean, literally, that's what happens. That part of that brain is not strong. Whatever it is, right? Like, and we'd have to get, like, really deep into whatever the reason is. How did the pathway get so strong in her to speak that way, right? Like, because it worked, because it was effective. So that got very, very strong. That, you know, think of it like a branch, right? Like, that one got the most nutrients. So it got the strongest. And yeah. So it holds all of the things. And so what, it's not broken, and it does work, right? So it has to be a very pointed effort and a very, like, everyday type of thing. And that's exhausting. We know because we're doing it all the time, right? Yeah. It's exhausting, and we're expecting people who don't even really kind of get the point,
yeah.
To do that every day.
It's like her refusal to learn how to use a computer. Yeah. It's not in her to learn how to use it. Like, it just every time you teach her and you think that she gets somewhere, it leaves the chat. And the next time she's like, how do I do this? And I'm like, oh God.
Because it's never been important. For us, it's important, right? Because we were right at that cusp, right? Yeah. Like, where we, like, it was amazing for us.
It gave us so much more accessibility to the world. And it was
right when our brains wanted it.
Yeah. And our brain was like, ooh. Yes. Yes. Yeah,
it's crazy when we really think about it.
It is. And, you know, and something I think is in a very unpopular opinion that people don't want to hear is that if you have children, your children are going to have thoughts and feelings about how you parented them. Oh, yeah. You have to understand their perspective is based on their experience and life, and they're experiencing life at that age at a vastly different time than we did. And because we're coming from our own trauma and from our own experience, it's going to be different than theirs. And so they're going to have perceptions. Some of the perceptions are going to be good, but some of the perceptions are going to be like, I can't believe she did that. Mom, why did you do that? Like, we cannot escape. We can do what we can to understand we're available to hear those things and to understand their perspective. I think that's the difference, is that we're allowing them to have their feelings and their perceptions and knowing that it's true for them, and mm-hmm. and talking it and working it out, rather than kind of our parents' generation that is like, I can't believe I did my best for you. Like those, like don't want to have conversation. Like, you telling me that you have a perception of me is wrong, and you know this, because that's how they don't understand, and they don't have the power of psychology and the power of understanding each other that we have. And so because we have it, the next generation will have the freedom to share how they feel with us, and we'll have open space for that. It may not feel great. It may not be great. And it may not be, oh man. But at the same time, we're giving them the freedom to have that. Yeah. Because we don't. And that's how we evolve as humans. That's how we change the brain and all of the effects of our DNA and everything. It's epigenetics. It's how we change the DNA within us to move forward.
Yeah. It's a two-way learning street. If we allow it to be a two-way learning street, we'll do so much better, right? Yep. Like, we go backwards and we learn, instead of going backwards with blame and whatever, we just go back and we learn, and we allow the generation, you know, after us to teach us as well. You know, I have things to teach my daughter. She has things to teach me. She's taught me a lot, you know, and it's not a hierarchy because she's younger. She doesn't know things. It's because she's experiencing life a different way. And so I'm going to give her the opportunity to tell me how her life is experienced, you know, and I am going to have to listen because it's true. You know what I mean? And that's what I learn about psychology and know about psychology, probably because of what I do more than anything. But it's like, yeah. And have I failed in some ways? Absolutely. Has her life been different than mine? Of course. So she's going to have a different perspective than I would, you know, but my goal always being like, well, you tell me and I'll tell you. Like, if we have an open communication, then we have a better shot. Right. Like, we just have a better shot of it being more fluid. If I'm screwing up and I let you tell me that you're screwing up and I tell you why I'm screwing up, then we're going to have a much better shot at figuring out how you're not going to screw up. You know, like, and that's hard because it takes a lot of humility. And that, again, like, kind of is really difficult because we live in a hierarchy society, at least here, where there's like the respect your elders thing continues to be one of the most ridiculous things that we hold on to, of like, they know everything. Like, they don't. Yeah. Nobody knows everything. Just be teachable, man. If we're all teachable, then we all like have this just kind of like this baseline of like, well, tell me what you know. And if it doesn't ring true for me, that's fine too. But now I learned something different about another viewpoint that other people are walking around with, right? Yep. Like, whether I like it or not, it is what it is, you know, and I can just let it be what it is. And I get it. Like, there's a lot of ways that challenges us. I know there's a lot of ways. I mean, I'm obviously superhuman, you know, humanitarian type thing. So when I come across somebody who's not, it is a freaking challenge for me to be like, human, there's a human there. It's a human. And it's a human, and they have reasons for why they believe that. And if you want to know, you can ask. Just ask. Just ask. See if you can find the humanness within them, because they are human, and that they're not diabolically here to be like, you know, horrible people. They have a belief system, and there's a reason for their belief system. Get curious. It'll give you information, if nothing else. You'll never agree with them, but you'll understand them more.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's never going to be perfect. I think there's such a high standard that we feel, you know, experiencing, you know, trauma and generational issues with our parents. Like, we're never going to be the end all, the end of it.
It's it can't happen. Like,
well, because the world is traumatizing, let's be honest.
Yeah. and I think too is that, you know, it goes back to the kind of the mindset I have around change and around healing. You can't effectively make change and to have healing if you're not in a space of doing it with, through compassion and love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, forcing someone to change based on a judgment is never really the way to go. You're just mm-hmm. imparting on them what they're imparting on you. Mm-hmm. At least that's my theory, and that's how I've tried to approach it, in a way of like, if I have understand and humanize them, then I have a chance at being free of what they've imparted on me.
1,000%. Yeah.
And because here's the thing we judge about others, we're judging internally.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because we already have that judgment there, or else we wouldn't be able to have it to pass it on to them.
Yeah. So, you know, that's something to also, when we're judging, like when I was in any situation, like in my body journey and how I realized I judge people who are overweight because I judge myself for being it. Mm-hmm. And it was a game changer, because when I understood that and brought in more compassion for them, and it kind of just happened for myself, because I see myself in them and that's why I judge them. And so it was kind of that, oh, so when I want to pass judgment, I'm like, what are we judging about ourselves? Because really inherently people that we don't know or experience have no, like we have no bearing on them. And so it shouldn't be affecting us. But in parents, I think, you know, one of the things is when I was a stepmom, I used to say, I don't want to be like my mother.
Yeah.
And part of it was just realizing that I won't be, because I understand it. And I've learned from her experiencing her parenting that I won't be her, and I'll have some things that are like her, but I'll do my best to take care of it when I need to, based on knowing how that impacts people.
Right. And you have access, right? Like, it's a glorious thing to be able to be like, oh, I'm thankful that I have access to the things that they didn't have access to, because I get to do this.
Yeah. 1,000%.
Well, it's a hard conversation. I mean, I, like I said, I've kind of sat down with some people, but it's not right. Like, and they're yelling at me, and I'm like, I know, but look what's happening to you right now. Do you want to feel this way? The only way to stop feeling this way is to try to think of things a little bit differently, to let go of it a little bit differently, or else you're just going to continue to be angry, which you're allowed to do. You're allowed to do whatever it is that you want to, but you came to me because you don't want to. So you got to try this. At least try it. Mm-hmm. And everyone, I mean, I've got clients who have repaired relationships with their parents in unbelievable ways, like in ways that are like shocking, where like they've been there, where their parents became teachable.
Yeah.
Because of the way that they were approached, I got goosebumps all over thinking about it, because that energetic cord shifted from one of hatred and judgment and negativity to one of understanding and compassion and meeting people where they're at. And when people are met where they're at, they're always going to be more willing to see where you're at.
Well, and I understand, because I hated being around my mom, and I hated being around her because of what she spawned, like the energy. But the energy comes from that part of me that is so angry, and she can only react to the anger and the energy that I'm putting forth. So how is it ever going to be different? And how can I ever expect it to be different if I don't change the energy that I'm putting out? And so,
and it's just taking a shot. Because listen, yeah. I've got some clients that have I tried, and the parent is not coming here, and that's okay. But it feels so much different. It's not with anger anymore. They're just like, well, they are who they are, and I tried.
And I think it's the parts of me that had experienced the neglect and what I experienced with her, because I'm validating of it, because I'm supportive of it and protective of it. It trusts that, okay, maybe it's okay to enter into the chat about being around her, not all the time, with a lot of fucking boundaries and a lot of like, I won't put up with things. If it starts to happen, I'm out the door. Like, you're going home, like that kind of energy. And, you know, so it's,
I wouldn't subject myself to it all the time, but it's not, I'm not unheard of if it's like, oh, would you mind if I come visit for a weekend? And, you know, so it's, you know, it's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so many things come out of it. I mean, some people decide not to pursue relationships with their parents once they understand them. And that's okay too. But again, absolutely, it's just releasing the anger and releasing the frustration and releasing all of that negative energy that's in there so that you can go forth and be happy, right? Like, you don't, it's not always about, because I do have a belief system of like the whole family systems and the importance that we put on it being way too much anyway, right? Like, again, like that hierarchy of like, honor thy father and mother. I'm like, it's a bit much. Like, it's a freaking bit much, right? Yeah. Like, we don't have to be up each other's, you know what, all the time in order to prove that we're family. Like, we don't need to do that, right? But there's a lot of people that once that gets loosened and they're given permission, it's kind of like, well, I don't maybe want a relationship with that person. And it's okay that I don't have one. Now that I see them as a human, now that I see them as somebody I probably wouldn't want to spend time with anyway, if I met them out in the world right now, I can just release them as a person that's like that and treat them like that person on the street that I, you know what I mean? I'll be nice to them. I won't, but I don't, and I just won't look for depth where depth doesn't exist.
Yep.
You know, and you just come to this understanding, you know, and so there's just like, there's no like, oh, do this and then you'll have a great experience with your family. It's do this and you'll feel okay and you'll have the best shot, but you'll still have to be, you know, open to what other possibilities are there and be okay with them.
Yeah. Yep. Whew. Friends, I know it's a lot and it's a lot to take in and consider. But I hope that some of this has given you maybe some insight, food for thought when it comes to your relationship with your families. And, you know, and believe me, like Vanessa said, if you decide you're like, nope, that's absolutely valid and absolutely your choice. Sometimes our path isn't the way of understanding. Sometimes our path is the way of holding fast. And also sometimes understanding and having awareness and humanitarian doesn't mean that you're involving them back in your life. Mm-hmm. It could mean you're still no contact, but you're like, yeah, okay. I mm-hmm. see the human that you are. And regardless of whether you were a jerk or not, or a horrible human, I see how it happened. I still don't want you in my life, but I see how it happened. It's mm-hmm. just having that understanding. But if you have questions or need something or need help processing your own, you know where to find us. Of course, we love you and we hope that you have a great week ahead. Be kind to yourself, understand, give yourself lots of space and grace for this Mercury retrograde and the last mm-hmm. part of this eclipse season. Just a lot of grace, a lot of just breathing and saying, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. We love you and we'll see you next week.
Hey, love y'all.
If you were triggered by anything said in this podcast, please dial 911 or go to your local emergency room.
To more deeply understand your unique emotional reaction to today's podcast, I'd love for you to connect with me. You can find me at VanessaPerryCounselor@gmail.com or at www.VanessaPerry.net.
And if you wish to take your healing further, through energy work or channeling angels or the highest level beings, please reach out to me, Grace, at graceevergreen.com or graceevergreen@outlook.com. And always remember, you are loved,
you are worthy,
and the world needs your light.